any better? Can it get any better than this? Awesome. We're glad you all are in church today. Welcome to Lakeside United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor David Branson. I just want to welcome you on behalf of myself and our congregation here. If you're first time visitors with us, welcome this morning. If you would, you'll find the connect card in your bulletins. This is how we record your attendance and any information that you would like for us to have in the office as well. There are prayer cards in your pews there in front of you, the little yellow colored cards. If you have a prayer request, drop them in the, or during the praise songs today, the ushers will come down the aisle and pick up those this morning from you. Just a reminder that we're continuing our healing and communion service on Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock throughout Lent. And a reminder of our Bible study following that service at 7 o'clock. We do have a reminder that next Sunday evening is our Easter cantata. The choir have been working very hard on that, very diligently. I want to invite all of you to bring a neighbor. Your assignment for the Easter cantata is to bring someone with you. So we hope you'll come out next Sunday at 7 p.m. It's going to be a wonderful evening of music and just a great time to spend in the Lord's house. We do have the Holy Week services now in your bulletins. So keep track of that. We will definitely be having a lot of activities here at the church for that. A reminder that we are going to have a community Easter egg hunt and fun day for the kids on April 19th from 11 to 1. If you would like to help out with that, we can certainly use your help. So I encourage you all to see Christina Clemens or Christina Harden. I'm sorry. Christina Harden, or Jane Harden, or myself, and we will get you hooked up with who you need to see to help us out with that. At this time, I would like to invite United Methodist Women representatives forward. They have a presentation for Ms. Susan this morning. So, come on up. We don't allow cats here.
I think you'll be able to hear me and I'll talk. I'll use my teacher voice.
Oh, here.
No, please. I have a teacher voice. First of all, I want to review what we did in our Methodist Women. Turn me on.
It's on.
Review what United Methodist Women did at the banquet. We gave special recognition to the man back there with the camera, to Bill Taylor. He is recognized for several things, but one of which you see every Sunday when he films our service. Also, we would like to present this recognition pin to someone who has been involved in our worship services as worship leader and speaker. She has been a volunteer in mission to Cuba and in South America. She's been in the Peace Corps. She willingly shares her volunteer experiences with our congregation and United Methodist Women. She's active in our United Methodist Women's Bookworm Circle, sharing her experiences and book reviews. And she's chairman of our Church Leadership Council. So, on behalf of the United Methodist Women, we recognize Susan.
Thank you. God, the one who created you, is here today to provide all your needs.
We find kindness all around us, and we have come to give them.
If you drink from the well of Jesus Christ, you will never again go thirsty.
How can we earn this living water?
It is not for sale. It is a gift freely given by God. Come and drink.
We have an awesome God. Let us fill ourselves with the good life of God and lives.
And our opening hymn this morning is Come, Christians, Come to Sing.
Your life broke my heart, restored it. much for your presence in our lives. You do turn our sorrow into joy. We just thank you so much for that. In Jesus Christ, save me, we pray.
Aren't they on your scroll today already? So does God put our tears in a bottle? How big a bottle could that be, do you think? That would have to be a pretty big bottle, wouldn't it? Bigger than what that bottle would be, right? Well, did you know that Jesus cried? Didn't Jesus cry? We hear in the Bible where Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus had died, and he went in and told Lazarus to get up and come out of there, and he got up and came out, and he came back to life, didn't he? But throughout the Bible, we hear Jesus talking, or we hear the Bible telling stories of Jesus weeping. So is it okay for us to cry, do you think? If Jesus did it, obviously, right? If Jesus has cried, then it must be okay for us to cry, isn't it? Now, me as a man, I get nervous when my wife cries. I think I've done something wrong. But not always. Most of the time, it's because it may not be sadness, but it could be tears of joy, or we used to have shows on TV that we call our crying shows. And we would watch them knowing we were going to cry because the story was so good and it touched our hearts. And it made us happy. So today, what I want you to remember is that it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry at good things and bad things. But Jesus, but God, and King David asked God to put his tears in a bottle, didn't he? He thought God had a bottle to put his tears in. So today, crying is not necessarily a bad thing. But crying is how we know we need God and Jesus in our life, right? Right? Does that make sense today? Crying is okay. Our tears are okay. And in our lifetime, we probably cry a lot of tears, don't we? But that's okay. Because God is there, and He's listening to us, and He's putting our tears in a box. Let's have a prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for these beautiful children. Thank You for just their awesome spirit, Lord. Father, I pray that the tears we shed throughout our life, sometimes they'll be sad tears, but let us have plenty of tears of joy. Let us have tears that bring us closer to God and to what He does for us. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You guys can go to the children's church. See Miss Jane back there? Patrick, you can go. Come on. You guys want to go to children's church? Bye, champion. How big would our Bob have to be to capture all our tears as we cry in a lifetime? Do you ever stop and think about it? Do we cry rivers, oceans? I think sometimes we do. I hope it's not all for sadness. I hope we can cry for joy. Just to be thankful that God is there to catch our tears and keep them in a bottle. What an awesome thought in that. Now's the time in our service we go to the Lord in prayer. Anything you bring with you this morning for the burdens in your heart, for illness and for sickness and for just relationship issues and maybe employment, or wherever you find yourself today, I would encourage you now to be thinking and just spend some time in silence as we go before the Lord in prayer and just get rid of the burdens that you brought with you today. And if there's tears to be shed, let them be a blessing today. God. Here are these names of folks needing our prayers this morning. We're still praying for Amanda and Ryan who lost their baby now a couple of weeks ago. Actually named him Gabriel Michael. What a beautiful thing. Keep them and their family in your prayers. My dad had a bad night last night. He's got pneumonia again, so we just want to continue to pray for his peace and his comfort as well. Marianne Davis is still recovering from a fall a couple of weeks ago. Peter Alfieri is still battling some medication issues. Ken Chanel had surgery this week. And just our prayers for recovery and for him to get well and get back to church. We do have some praises this morning. Maria in Jacksonville, Lena's sister, and we've been praying for her for quite some time. She had some heart issues. She did have a pacemaker put in on Friday, so she's at home doing much better. So continue to lift up Maria in your prayers. Chad is asking for prayers for his son, who's been in the hospital, and the Puccio family, who were in a terrible car accident, and friend Barbara as well. We're lifting up George this morning, who's having tests and carotid artery issues. And so Mary Lou is lifting up George this morning. Fred Newmarth is having tests and treatments this week as well. We have Isaac, who is praying for his mother this morning, asking for God's provision in her life. The Jason and Yaden family, that they could just draw closer to God. Pastor Saeed Abedini, Iranian American, who's been in prison in Iran. Lifting up Joshua this morning, Tammy Malden's son. And a praise this morning from Karen that the Boers are back in town. Chris is here this morning. Our church family has moved to Indiana and now back for a visit. So welcome back. Good seeing you all this morning. Christopher. Rob and Sean Friend, and Linda, Ken as well this morning. A praise from Anna that she's celebrating her 1-year anniversary at her job. And continue to sign another lease on her apartment. So that's a great thing, and we're so happy for you. Like I said, I know there's things this morning that you bring. Let's now go before the Lord in prayer. Loving and gracious God, thank you for this day you've given us today. Father, we are grateful to be your children. We are grateful to have a God bigger than any of us and any of our problems. Father, this morning we come to you with these burdens mentioned today, but there are many, many more things in our hearts and on our minds and in our spirits that just drag us down. Father, those unmentioned this morning, those unmentioned prayer needs and requests, Father, we bring them to you today. Father, take them away from us, the burden that we carry, the things in our life, the sin, the things that keep us from you. When we're concentrating on these other worldly things, Lord, let us be able to come together at your table as we will do this morning. Father, as we come together to share in Holy Communion, we come together to share the most intimate details of Christ's life. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Father, as we lift our loved ones up today, we pray also for our community, for the people served by this church through its ministries, its missions, and its outreach to our community, Lord. Let those that come onto this property feel the holy power of the Holy Spirit in a new and magnificent way. Father, thank you for letting us be here to serve your people. Father, as our message today talks about putting others before ourselves, Father, let us hear the message loud and clear this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for the precious gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving this morning for all you have done for us and all that you have promised to do for us. Father, bless our time together now. Keep us safe. Keep us encouraged on our walk with you. Father, we love you, and we cannot believe that you love us more than we can even imagine. Father, thank you. This glorious day, and for this glorious time to worship, and this time spent with God's people.
about that day to be. This is a time in our worship service when we have the opportunity to worship through our gifts and through our offerings. Let us this morning remember that the depth of Christ's love and the enormity of Christ's offering for us invite us to offer our gifts and our lives in an endless song of gratitude. Let us offer our gifts with gladness. Would the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Lord of all. Are we ready to do that? We're coming up to the top of year, Easter. The Holy Week. When he was crowned, wasn't he? It's not quite what we had anticipated or expected. Our scripture this morning comes from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. Hear these words this morning. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any sharing in the Spirit, any sympathy, complete my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, being united and agreeing with each other. Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility, think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others. Adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings. When he found himself in the form of a human, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly honored him and gave him a name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven, on earth, and under the earth might bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask a blessing upon this message today, that we would take to heart the meaning of this scripture. Father, as difficult as those words are for each of us, Father, bless us, bless this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've had this discussion this week in our Bible study class on Wednesday evening. How easy is it for us to put others before ourselves? Is that not easy for you, Paul? To think of others as better than yourselves. Some of us have struggled with that. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. You know what that day meant? Jesus came riding triumphantly into Jerusalem. His followers were expecting him to what? Come and take charge, to run those Romans out of town on a rail. Did they have rails? Well, he was going to do it. That's what his followers thought Jesus had come to do. To come and accept his crown of glory. That sure is what he got to end, wasn't it? Did he get a crown of glory? They thought he was going to come and storm the city hall. He was going to take over the government. But what did he do? He went straight to the temple, didn't he? And what did he do in the temple when he got there? You remember the story? What did he do? He grabbed the whip and he started slashing around people. He turned the tables over. Called them a den of thieves, didn't he? Does that make our church proud today? I hope Jesus wouldn't come into this place and call us all a den of thieves. But we've got to be aware of that, don't we? How easy can we fall into that? How easy when we leave this place and go back into the world that we become of the world? You know the difference there? Being in the world and being of the world? All of us are forced to be in the world, aren't we? But are we forced to be of the world? Those are convicting words this morning. That den of thieves they were talking about were people doing what? They thought they were doing the right thing, wasn't it? They were providing a service to the Jewish people to provide them an animal for slaughter, for sacrifice on the altar in the temple. Well, that seems like a pretty noble thing to do, doesn't it? Jesus didn't quite think so, did he? They were for their own needs. They were doing it for their own gain. You know, all the way back to Old Testament times, we hear stories like Jacob and his dream of a ladder reaching all the way up to heaven. Do you get the sense that we were, not we, but us today as well? Doesn't it seem we're always running to get to God? Jacob's dream, there was a ladder that he could go up to heaven. During the Exodus, the Jewish people out of the desert, they put up their tent of meeting. I'm surprised the Methodists don't have that. They have a lot of meetings. Do we need to put up a tent? But what they were doing was putting up a place for God to be there and the people to come to God. Jesus seemed pretty critical of the temple, didn't he? And how the Jews viewed its meaning. When the disciples were in awe of the grandeur of the temple in front of them, what did Jesus say? I could tear this place down and rebuild it in 3 days. It didn't quite impress him the same way, did it? Do we have to have a great cathedral to worship God? Do we have to have a tent of meeting for God to be present with us? I pray every day that when I get in my car and get on 95 that God wants to come along for a ride. I have a car of meeting. I'm hoping to meet God in my car as I meet all these other crazy drivers on 95. My dad always used to say, be careful out there, there's a lot of crazy drivers on the road. Well, be careful out there because I might be the craziest driver on the road. If you're the craziest driver on the road, are there crazier drivers than you? I don't know if there's any point to that, but think about it. Finally, that grand temple that they had built in Jerusalem was a place meant for God to come together with his people. That's what they believed. They turned to the temple as a place of divine human meeting with God. Now, yes, it's nice to have a nice church. But God is with us everywhere. In John's Gospel, he says about Jesus that he was setting himself up as the new temple, the new link between God and his people. Jesus went to the temple, and he taught in the temple, and he spent time in the temple. But where else did he meet people? I've used this example a lot here during Lent. But the woman at the well. They have a well of meeting. Is that when God comes to meet the people at the well? No. But did Jesus come there for that purpose? To meet the woman at the well? Absolutely. But for the Jews, it had to be Jerusalem. What did the woman at the well say? She was a Samaritan. What was her response? Her response was, and Jesus sort of argued with her, the Jews have to go to Jerusalem to the temple. Us Samaritans, we believe that you have to go to Mount Gerizim. They thought that's where you had to go to meet God. Does people have to seek out God and go to where God is? That's the question of the day. Is God in this place? Is God in our cars? I hope he is. I know he is. That's what John said. Jesus was going to be the new temple. Jesus told the woman at the well, true worshipers will worship the Father in truth, in spirit and truth. What did she say? She was a little confused with that, wasn't she? That people will worship God in spirit and truth. Now that sounds like some of my children's messages that I do up here.
confusing, wasn't it? Because she didn't know the rest of the story yet, did she? She didn't know who she was with.
But Jesus went on to say, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Somehow, worshiping at Mount Zion was now changing. It was turning now. They were to worship Jesus. You know, the Gospels surprisingly portray the cross first as God's way to bring God. This is God speaking. To get heaven and earth is in the way of the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened? The curtain was torn. You all understand what that meant, right? That tent of meeting with the curtain there being torn wide open. You know what that signifies? That signifies that Jesus Christ is our way to God. And He came to us. Without my GPS, I get lost now. I'm going to try that when I get home today. I'm going to put God in my GPS and see where it sends me. Have you all ever tried that? I'm curious now as to what that would do. But in the form of Jesus, Jesus Christ came to each one of us. He met us at our well. He met us in the desert. He met us in the valley. He will meet us on the mountain. Is it safe to say that Jesus is there before we get there? I hope Jesus is your best friend. That temple we talked about was the old covenant. The old covenant between Israel and God. But now we see the new covenant. We get to celebrate today the new covenant. You see, that makes me a little excited. I'm happy about that. I hope that brings joy to your day when you can come and have Holy Communion and celebrate that new covenant. In Gethsemane and Calvary's Hill, Jesus redefined the sovereignty of God. That was from the book. I didn't mention it in the beginning. We preached this sermon series from this book, Why God? Why Jesus? William Willem, Methodist bishop. We've looked into the inside of where God is meeting us, where He's leading us. And today we get to come together at this table. He looked like a failed victim, but He soon became the divine victory. On that Good Friday, did Jesus look like the winner? Did Jesus win the race? And as His disciples fought over who would be at Jesus' right hand, He told them, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be a slave to all." Are we willing to do that today? Are we willing to be a slave to everyone around you? Jesus did. Those are convicting words this morning. Those are words that cut us to the quick. Those are words that I struggle with just as much as I'm sure you all do. That's our discussion led in Bible study. Being a slave to all? Is that the American dream? More things to ponder. You know, that day on Calvary, it wasn't about a failed messianic project that God was. God didn't fail that day. What it showed instead was who God really is. God gets what He wants, doesn't He? Did you know God wants you and me? Even you and me. And He wants us so much that He sent His Son here to gather us up. To gather up his wandering sheep. Amen. Well, this morning we have an opportunity to share. You hear me say it every time we have a communion. We have a time to come and be at Christ's table. Hear this invitation this morning. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be obedient children. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our Lord thanks and prayers.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From dust of the earth you formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. When your people forsook your covenant, your prophet Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and on your holy mountain he heard your still small voice. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
God,
our heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant with you made through Christ. Christ gave himself up for us. The night that he was betrayed by a friend, he took bread and he broke it. He lifted it and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took the cup. He raised it to the heavens and said, Father, bless this. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet, through your Son, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, glory forever. Amen.
For those coming with communion, please come forward.
Thank you. let us always see you beckoning us to you. Father, we know that you have come and you have brought your Son to save us. Father, let us now be blessed as we leave this place. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.